This message comes from NPR sponsor LiveRight, publishers of Left 4 Dead, Shipwreck, Treachery, and Survival at the Edge of the World by Eric J. Dolan. The true story of five castaways abandoned on the Falkland Islands during the War of 1812. Available wherever books are sold.
Today on State of the World, Israelis return to a city that was attacked. Thanks for listening to State of the World from NPR. We bring you the day's most vital international stories up close where they're happening. It's Monday, April 1st. I'm Greg Dixon. The Israeli city of Sderot is near the border with Gaza and is the largest city that Hamas attacked on October 7th. When NPR's Daniel Estrin visited just 2 days later, it was still a battleground.
And as we're driving, we're seeing now huge flames and plume of smoke. Here it is. Look at right there in front of us.
Israel evacuated Sderot at the beginning of the war. Almost everyone left. Now, as Daniel tells us, people are returning.
Schools reopened a few weeks ago in Sderot after 5 months of war. When the war began, nearly the entire city of about 39,000 people evacuated to hotels across the country. But they can come back now, because Israel's ongoing military campaign means rocket fire from Gaza is less frequent. We visited Alon Sciences Elementary School and met students who were still reeling from October 7th. Eleven-year-old Oria Dahan says when the gunfire started, her mom told her to close the windows, and she saw the Hamas pickup trucks driving in. Israeli soldiers took up a position on their balcony. She says, my mom was really scared, and my mom said the soldiers were really scared. I'm sorry, she says. She cries quietly, and school principal Naama Hennig brings her tissues. 9 students at the elementary school had close relatives killed. Israel says 1,200 people were killed in the Hamas attacks, including 50 in Sderot. The principal says all it takes is for a student to see a plane in the sky or hear the sounds of explosions across the border in Gaza to have a panic attack. A few days ago during recess, she saw a couple third graders pointing. She asked them, what are you doing? They said, we're looking for a place to hide when the terrorists come to school. She says psychologists taught the teachers coping strategies to help the kids. They're using breathing techniques and tell children they can go under their desks for a safe space when they feel panicked. And they're teaching very different kinds of lessons now. This teacher asks her fourth grade class, what is trauma? The kids shout answers. Anxiety, something bad that happened to us, something you don't want to remember. The city has lined the streets with welcome banners. One says, back to coffee on the balcony and the view of greenery. Another says, back to mom's home cooking. A shawarma restaurant is packed at lunchtime. A supermarket's glass doors with the bullet holes have been replaced.
I opened the city in 3 of March.
March 3rd is when Mayor Alon Davidi welcomed residents back.
And you can see in 2 weeks, more than 26,000 people come back.
70% of the city has returned, he says, largely because schools reopened. Those who return are also receiving grants from the government.
I think that it shows something about the Israeli people. It shows something about the Jewish nation. No one can break us.
He made that point on a visit to North Gaza with Israeli troops. He planted the flag of his city in the middle of a destroyed central square in Gaza.
If they have the chance, they will kill everyone here. So I think that the flag of Israel showed them that you think that you can break us, but we are here.
Most Palestinians in North Gaza fled. Homes, buildings, streets were destroyed by Israel. While Israelis are returning to Sderot, across the border in North Gaza, Palestinians are not yet allowed to return.
For my opinion, we cannot give them option to come back to their home. we can discuss about that just after we will finish with Hamas and Jihad. And if we need and the world want to build new neighborhood in Gaza, so do it very, very far away from us.
At the edge of Sderot is a hilltop where you can peer across the border to North Gaza.
We just paid 5 shekels, a bit more than a dollar, to look through this viewfinder, and you can see this entire row of homes in Gaza destroyed. I mean, piles of rubble, and then further in the distance, a large plume of smoke.
We meet 26-year-old Oren Chen, who just came back to the city. The booms of war across the border kept him up on his first night back. He's here on the hilltop for a view of the war. He says, it's not always Hamas suffering in the war. In the end, it's the citizens there who suffer from it, just like we do. Gaza's health ministry says the Israeli offensive has killed more than 32,000 Palestinians.
He said, it's a mix of sadness and happiness. We are winning the war against them, but you never know what's going to come afterwards. If it's going to be an even more extreme group.
On the next hilltop over is a daycare with a new concrete wall shielding it from Gaza. There's a soldier at the entrance. Sderot adapted to years of rocket fire from Gaza by building rocket-proof schools, but now every school here has a soldier out front. Chen David picks up her 2-year-old from daycare. She says, all this doesn't give us a sense of security. Since October 7th, nothing gives a sense of security. I ask, what about moving somewhere else, farther away from the Gaza border? She says, since October 7th, the whole country is dangerous. And then she and her husband take their 2-year-old and drive off to her family's house for the final day of mourning for her uncle stabbed and killed at a gas station by a man who grew up in Gaza. Daniel Estrin, NPR News, Sderot.
That's the State of the World from NPR. For more coverage of all sides of this conflict, go to npr.org/Mideast Updates. Thanks for listening. See you again soon.
When voters talk during an election season, we listen. We ask questions, we follow up, and we bring you along to hear what we learned. Get closer to the issues, the people, and your vote at the NPR Elections Hub. Visit npr.org/elections.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Online. Is your child asking questions on their homework you don't feel equipped to answer? IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. One subscription gets you everything. One site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And NPR listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Charles Schwab with its original podcast On Investing. Each week, hosts Lizanne Saunders, Schwab's chief investment strategist, and Kathy Jones, Schwab's chief fixed income strategist, along with their guests, analyze economic developments and bring context to conversations around stocks, fixed income, the economy, and more. Download the latest episode and subscribe at schwab.com/oninvesting or wherever you get your podcasts.